Ask you to stand for the reading of the word, and we're going to go to Genesis and get in there quickly. Genesis, I think chapter 28 would be a good starting place, and we'll just read from there all the way to the, no, we won't do all that. Genesis chapter 28, verse 17, and let's do it from verse 18 and just say amen when you get there. Both of them. All right, we're getting close. We got about enough of them. I think we'll start right there. Genesis chapter 8 and chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed upon Jesus. And I'm just so thankful the Lord woke me up in my right mind. If my mind stayed upon Jesus, then I'm in my right mind. Is that all right? And Jacob rose up early in the morning. It was early. He was in his right mind. He woke up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillars. He had a stone for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Bethel meant or means the house of God. The house of God. And I want to talk to you this evening for just a minute. And we're going to, I say just a minute, Lord, forgive me for lying like that, for a few minutes, maybe more than 10 minutes and maybe less than an hour. We hope. No, we're not going to keep you that long. But we're going to talk about back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. And I'm going to continue reading there in verse 20. Because Jacob decided to vow a vow. Now listen to the vow he vowed when he got done anointing the pillar that he had set up. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, and that's verse 20, and will keep me in this way that I go. Now, if he will, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. If God does all this for me, is what he's saying, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Now, I got to come back in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Not before then, but then he'll be my God if he takes care of me. That's what Jacob said. I'm going to make this vow. If God takes care of me. Now, I know y'all ain't never done that. You never said, well, Lord, if you just get me up out of this mess. If you'll just get me up out of this mess I'm in. Now, I know you hadn't said that, have you? If you'll get me up out of this mess, I'm going to go ahead and serve you. I swear, Lord, I'm going to do it this time. Now, I'm not going to be like I was the last 10 times. But this time, I really mean it, Lord. That's what was Jacob saying? He said, now, I know you're God. And you're the God of my father. He's saying, I know that you're the God of my father, the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham. But you're not my God yet. I'm in a mess here, Lord. I done lied to everybody. I done deceived my daddy. I stole my brother's birthright. I'm running for my life. I'm heading off into a brand new land I don't know nothing about. And if you'll take care of me, and bring me back in peace, then I'll let you be my God. Well, that's pretty bold, isn't it? You ever read that scripture in Matthew? You say, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Now, what were the things going to be added? He said, you're going to have enough to eat, have enough clothes to wear, place to lay your head at night. That's all that's promised in that. That's all that's promised. People say, oh, you're going to make me rich. You're going to give me two cars, and one of them going to be a Cadillac. No, it ain't. The Bible doesn't say nothing about it like that. Well, okay, so he gave me a Cadillac. But he didn't give me a Mercedes Benz. I'm still waiting on that one. But I'm going to tell you what, that promise isn't in there. So I'm going to have enough clothes to wear. Now, they may not fit because my wife keeps shrinking them. Whew. She's going to learn to do laundry yet. Oh, wait, she took these to the cleaners. They messed it up. Yeah, isn't that just like a man? When God come to Adam and said, Adam, where art thou? He said, Adam, did you eat of the tree? He said, Lord, it ain't my fault. Right off, it wasn't his fault. Lord, Lord, it's the woman that you gave me. It's her fault and yours. Yeah. That's what Adam said. That's man. That's a man for you. He ain't going to take it. No. I'm not. That's not the reason his clothes are too small. I got clothes to wear anyway. They may not fit just exactly right, but maybe I'll get some soon that will. Ooh, Lord, forgive me, Jesus. And this stone, verse 22, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I shall surely give the tenth unto thee. I just decided to read that verse with it. We're not preaching on that. But that's a whole lesson all in itself, isn't it? I shall surely give the tenth unto thee. Well, that's some other lesson. That's for another time. You know, Jacob met God. And when he met God, it scared him a bit. And he took what he had at the place where he met God, and he set up a pillar. And that pillar is what he set for the cornerstone for the house of God. He anointed it. He marked the house of God. That's right, brother. That's what it is. He marked it. And then he anointed it with oil because he wanted to make sure it was a holy place. Because Jacob wanted to come back to there. Jacob had a desire. He wanted God to take care of him. He wanted to be able to worship this God. Jacob met God. And then he vowed a vow. Now, following that vow, Jacob began stepping on out. And he made it to his uncle Laban's house, and he ended up marrying Laban's daughters. I say daughters because it's plural. He married two of them. Now, folks, I remember going and talking to my future father-in-law. Now, Jacob, when he promised his daughter to Jacob, Laban, when he promised his daughter to Jacob, he was just as treacherous. He was just as deceitful, just as much of a liar as Jacob was. Two of a kind. They're just alike. Man. He said, what's it going to take to get that daughter? I want her. Boy, she's a pretty gal. He said, Laban. Laban's his uncle. That's his mama's brother. So he wanted to marry his cousin, you see. And I guess that was okay then. And I know a few that have done that, and even worse, around this area. So, Lord forgive them. But anyway, there are laws against some of that now. But then he wanted to marry this pretty girl. And he said, what's it going to take? He said, well, what would you give me? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll work for you for 7 years. He loved her so much. I'll work free for 7 years. I'll work myself to the bone. I'll do whatever you want for 7 years. He liked that girl. Ooh, she was so pretty. She had to be. I ain't working 7 years for no girl. I've been working 40 years for this one. And then some. I went to my father-in-law. He had two daughters. He did. Boy, I was all crazy about the one. I'd say, I want to marry your daughter. Actually, what I did, I went to him and said, hey, me and your daughter finna get married. You want to come? You want to be there? I didn't ask him. I did tell him we were getting married. Say, we're finna get married. You're welcome to come and watch. But Jacob, he was so deceitful. He was so much like, Laban was so much like Jacob. Jacob, man, he just knew he had, man, Laban covered that girl up. I'm saying, she must have been some ugly. Because I'm going to tell you what. He had her covered up from head to toe. And Jacob had no idea that was not his pretty little gal until the next morning. No idea whatsoever. Laban had that girl covered up. Now, I'm telling you what. All the lights were off. I just don't know how he could be fooled that much. Now, I don't want to speak ill of folks that are not with us, and I won't do that. But I got news for you. I went after one girl. My father-in-law had two. My future father-in-law had two. And I wanted the youngest one. And if he had tried to do that to me, I'd have brought her back. I went after you. I wanted the youngest one. I didn't want her sister. Now, I'm saying, Jacob said he wasn't really all that interested in Leah, but let me tell you something. Must have been something there because he decided to keep her and work another 7 years for Rachel. That 14 years, I'd have put my hat on and left. I'd have smooth went down the road. Said, you keep them both, Jack. I'm not all that enthusiastic about this marriage. I just wasn't. But you know, I'm glad I got the wife I do. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. And double thank you, Lord, for me not marrying her sister. I'm so glad. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. And I'll say no more about that. But you know, Jacob married them both. He married one of them through treachery. And he married the other out of love. And I have to tell you, he ended up being happy about it. Got lots of sons. Had one daughter. Then there came a time that God had to remind Jacob of the vow he had made. You see, Jacob had been there working for Laban. He had already worked his 14 years. And then he worked another six for a few cattle, a few sheep, and some ugly goats. I say ugly because some of them were striped, it said. Some of them were spotted. Some of them are straight. Does anybody know what a straight goat is? Yeah, I don't either. I have no clue what that means. I tried looking it up. I couldn't find it anywhere. But it's got to be somewhere. Somebody knows what a straight goat is. Whatever that is. But Jacob worked another 6 years. So there's 20 years. And then he worked all this time and he just kind of in a rut. You know, you ever get in a rut? Now, consider this. You've run from your family. You know they're out to get you. Your dad's pretty upset at you. He knows you lied to him. He knows you stole from him. Your mama had done warned you, you better get out of here. Your brother's coming. He's going to kill you. And his mama done set up all the deceit. She did. She set it up. Said, here comes Esau. When he gets back, he's flat going to kill you for stealing from him. Now, see, how come nobody but Jacob and Esau knew that Jacob didn't steal that birthright, but Esau sold it to him? I never did figure that out. Them two boys knew. Right. Yet Esau still wanted it. He done sold it to him, but he didn't really want to get it. You ever sell something and not take it to the guy that bought it from you? Not give it to him? Listen, if the Lord buys you, you know, we're bought with a price. We are bought with a price. And God wants his money's worth. He wants what he paid for. Man, if I come to your house and I buy a lawnmower from you, and you say, well, brother, I'm going to bring you the lawnmower, but I'm going to mow my lawn first. That's all right. I'll make that deal with you. But a month later, when I come to get it again because you still hadn't brought it, I say, well, brother, I done mowed it out. Brother, I'm going to get a little upset. And he's changed. Thank the Lord. He won't burn your house down now. There was time I would have. And wouldn't have thought twice about it. Yeah. I don't do those things anymore. Sometimes I still think about them. And I have to repent. Because if I'm going to think about it, I might as well do it. But the truth of the matter is, if I buy something, I want it. I want to take it home with me. Lord paid a price for us. He wants his money's worth. Now here's Jacob. He done bought the birthright from Esau. And his dad thinks he's dying, so he wants to give the birthright to Esau because he doesn't know Esau sold it to Jacob. And Esau's not telling. And Jacob, why didn't Jacob tell him? But Dad, he sold that birthright to me. It's mine now. You got to give it to me. Why didn't he tell him? I don't know. Those are the only two boys that know. I guess they're the only two people in the whole world that know what happened. So they consider that Jacob stole the birthright. So now he's on the run. Whew. Man's on the run. And Esau's after him. And he's some upset. And he's big. Esau's a big burly guy. And he's after Jacob with a vengeance. Now, Jacob's running. He meets God. He anoints a place as the house of God and vows a vow. But after vowing that vow, he still doesn't trust God to take care of him the way that God will take care of him. Do you ever trust God every time? Do you trust God every time? Do you always trust God? Lord, I was telling my wife this evening, baby, I'm not going to worry about it. Let the Lord take care of it. She gave me one of them looks. Because she knows me. She's known me for over 40 years. I looked at her and I said, okay, baby, I'm going to worry about it, but I'm going to try not to. Because God's got control, and I know he's got control. Jacob vowed this vow, and God had to remind him. Jacob's been over here with Laban for 20 years, and just marking time, just trying to get out of going back and doing what he promised. How many times have you promised God, I'm going to do it, Lord. This time I'm going to do it. Get me out of this mess. And this time I'm going to serve you forever. I mean it this time, God. And you know, he's going to hold you to it. He's going to hold you to it. And he may have to remind you, hey, remember you promised me. You vowed a vow. Come on, it's time to get up and go. So he told Jacob, hey, it's time to get up from here. Now listen to this. Genesis 31 and 13, it says, I am the God of Bethel. I'm the one that was there. Where you anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow, where you made the promise, Jacob, I'm the one unto me. Now arise. Tired of you fooling around, Jacob. Been 20 years. Arise. Get thee out from this land. You're hanging around long enough. And return unto the land of thy kindred. He tell him, come on, Jacob. Get on back. I want to bless you. I want to bless you, Jacob. I want to do what a God does for his people. I want to do that, Jacob. And God had to remind Jacob. Sometimes I have to be reminded. Come on, Jim. You know, you don't stop here. You ever had some people tell me, you know, I'm on the right path. Well, it doesn't matter if you're on the right path or not. If you're on the right path and you ain't moving, you're finna get run over. I remember a time when there was a highway in Florida. Now, this same highway has shoulders on it, and it's a good highway now. But back in the early 80s, I was driving a truck along this highway, and I was going from one side of the state to the other, trying to take a shortcut. I had found me a shortcut. Oh, Lord, did I find a shortcut. I'm glad it was daylight on that shortcut. There was no shoulder. I mean, there was no shoulder on that road. It was a two-lane road. And I had a big truck and a load of cars. And I'm just trucking down that highway just to getting after it. And there's a car with a flat tire in my lane. Oh, I don't know they got a flat tire. I'm about half asleep, you see. Sun had been shining in my eyes. We're driving like that, you know. You ever drive like that? I got this. I ain't got that far to go. Start pulling on your lip. You do anything to keep awake. I went and bought me a neck comb. You know what a neck comb is? I had a beard back then. I mean, I had a full beard. Neck comb has teeth so close together, you can't get a hair between them hardly. Man, if I wanted to wake up, I start scraping it through that beard. I wouldn't have much beard left, but it waked me up for a while. Woo, would that wake me up? Boy, that was a tough little comb. Here I am trucking down that highway, just falling asleep, dozing, and just trying to keep my head up. See this car up there, and doesn't look like it's going very fast. Well, I ought to be slowing down, but I'm not. I'm running about 72 miles an hour. At that time, the national speed limit was 55. Whew. And that car's coming up fast because that car ain't moving. And I finally realized there's somebody out beside the car doing one of these with a jack. Back then, you had real jacks. You didn't stick them up under there. You stuck them up under the bumper so they could fall down off of it. As soon as you got the tire off, the car would fall on the ground, and then you really had trouble trying to get it back up. That's how them jacks work. Uh-huh. And he had his whole family standing out there. Pretty soon, I see somebody doing all this, and I know they ain't praising the Lord. They're trying to get me stopped. Because I'm just trucking. I'm saying, whoa, what they doing? Why don't they get out the way? Well, they got three tires on the car and a jack. How they going to get up out the way? And it ain't long, I'm smoking brakes everywhere. Now I got a load of cars on this truck. Had eight cars, that's as much as it could carry. And most of them was heavy, and the windshield was out of one of them because I done drove through a tree with it. Oh, man. I was already in trouble, wondering what's going to happen when I get back to Texas. Knocked the windshield out, a brand new Firebird I did. Ooh, Lord have mercy. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm hitting it, smoke just a rolling everywhere, black marks all over the highway, and you know, even with the load on that trailer can come around, I didn't know that. I found out that day Well, here, if anything had been coming out, I got them. Ain't nothing but swamp on this side and swamp on that side, and there ain't no shoulder on either side of the highway. Swamp on both sides. And my trailer's sticking straight out. I'm looking at, oh, God, I hope it don't catch me. My trailer trying to come around. And it's a dry highway. If it had been wet, it would have caught me. And these people standing there looking like, oh, no. Oh, no, this lady just is doing all this. I don't know, is she doing jumping jacks or what? She's trying to stop me. Ooh, God, I got stopped. That woke me up a little bit. Got on around him, got on out there. I began to head to where I was supposed to be heading. You know, sometimes I'm praying the whole time. You know, oh, God, get me out of this. Don't let me kill this family. Don't let me kill this family. Oh, Lord, don't let me kill this family. I'll worship you forever. You know what? As soon as I got around him, I said, thank you, Jesus. And went back living just like I always was. You know, we kind of forget. Then God reminds you. He had to remind Jacob. He said, Jacob, you vowed a vow. I want you to get back to the land of your kindred. Get back there, Jacob. Head back that way, Jacob. He said, get back there. Now, Jacob, he listened to the law. He said, man, you're right, Lord. I've dilly-dallied just a little too long where in this place, and I'm not supposed to be here. And he got his family together, all his stock together, everything together, and he took off. Laban chased him. Man, did Laban come after him. He was so mad. He was mad because Jacob, he didn't know. For 3 days, he didn't know. And then he started asking his sons, hey, where's Jacob? And he said, well, Jacob took off. He got his stuff together and left. So he chased Jacob. He didn't want Jacob to leave with all his stuff. He wanted to keep Jacob's stuff. He was just bad at Jacob. He's a deceiver. Laban wanted to steal from him. Laban caught up with him. He said, Jacob, why you take off? Don't let me say goodbye to my daughters. He didn't care about his daughters. He cared about all them sheep and goats and cattle and all that. That's what he cared about. You took off. And guess what else? Somebody stole his gods. Here's Jacob, heading back to see the God of Abraham and Isaac. Heading back to worship the God of his father. And dragging all these man-made gods with him. I'm coming to see you, Lord, but I ain't going to let go of this. I'm coming to live for you, Jesus, but I'm not going to let go. Just in case I don't make it, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to tell you something. You can't give nothing to God with your hand closed. You come to this altar to give something to God, give it to God. Don't get up from the altar carrying it with you. I don't know how many Christians, this is one of them right here, has come to the altar and held on to everything he came to the altar to give up. Got up from the altar carrying everything that he brought. Why'd I pick it back up? It wasn't mine. It didn't belong to me no more. God paid for that. That's what you hear me, what I'm saying. God paid for that. He paid the price. We're bought with the price. And not just that, but he paid for our trials. He paid for everything that was holding us back. He paid for our sins. Why we won't keep them? They're not ours anymore. Give them to him. Give them to Jesus. You got something holding you back? It ain't yours. You better let go of it. It don't belong to you. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It belongs to the Lord. He bought that. He paid for that. That's his now. It's his burden to carry, not mine. I don't have to carry those burdens anymore. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. He bought them. They're his. Let him have them. Let him have what's his. Now, Jacob continued on the journey. After Laban came, Jacob and Laban had a talk, and you know, Jacob kept Laban's, or Jacob didn't, but Rachel did, kept Laban's gods, took them with her, because she didn't want to leave that stuff behind. She wasn't sure about this god that Jacob had told her about. And she knew about these gods that were made by men's hands. She knew something about them, so she took them with her. She wanted to have them. Now, Jacob and Laban, they got together and talked it out, and they made a covenant. Y'all remember, just about the time the charismatic movement got to moving real good back in the mid to late 70s. through the mid-80s, boy, I mean, every time you got a birthday card or a Christmas card, it had a little fish on it. I mean, all right. Well, that shows you how spiritual they had a little fish on it. And down there at the bottom, it said, Ms. Pa. M-I-Z-P-A-H. Ms. Pa. Oh, they were proud of that. Jacob and Laban had a covenant. They made a covenant. And in that covenant, at the end of that covenant, well, I'll just read it to you. Chapter 31. And Laban called it. Now let's go to where? Verse 48. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. Galeed. And Mizpah. It was called and Mizpah. For he said, now listen to this. He said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. He said, Jacob, here's what Mizpah means. I'm going to tell you right now. People send you these Christmas cards. Remember those? I don't know if y'all got it. I used to get them all the time. Birthday cards, Christmas. I don't know why people didn't trust me. How could you not trust his face? Would you like to buy a used car? I got a bridge for sale. Now, come on now. It's not that bad. Mizpah. He said, Jacob, I trust you about as far as I can see you. But once you're out of my sight, I don't trust you no more. I can't see you. I don't trust you. So we're going to call this Mizpah because the Lord's going to watch between me and thee when you're out of sight. That's what Mizpah means. Mizpah means, I don't trust you if I don't see you. That's what it means. Man, all these people, these good folks send you all these Christmas. Boy, I never want to see another one of them. When I found out what that meant, I started chunking them in the trash. Here you go. Here's nothing. Why didn't people trust me? I'm such a trustworthy fella. No. Mizpah. They made a covenant. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And then, after they made the covenant, Jacob continued on his journey. He continued right on the journey. But you know what? He was heading out. He was going back to Bethel now. He's heading back to the house of God. He's going back to the land of his people. And he was heading back. But what did he do? Got sidetracked again. You know why? Things went good for him. All the way there, he was scared. He was thinking about Esau. He never forgot what he did to Esau. He's thinking, last time I saw my brother Esau, he wanted to kill me. So all the way there, he's sending cattle and servants ahead. He sent a group of them and said, you go meet Esau. He found out Esau was coming to see him. He thought Esau was coming to kill him. Now, I got tired of my brother beating up on me. And one day I went and told my brother, I got big enough to do something about it. I went and told him, I said, you whooped me for the last time, buddy. You ever hit me again, I'm going to take you down if I have to wait till you go to sleep. I'll take a ball bat to you. You won't beat me up again. You won't bully me again. And I meant it at the time. I wouldn't do that to him now for nothing. Poor old fella. He's sicker than I am. He's older than me. He's an old guy. So am I. But Jacob kept sending gifts ahead to Esau. He'd send a group of them, and then pretty soon he'd send another, and he'd tell them, when you get there, you tell Esau, this is from your brother Jacob. You know, Jacob, your brother, the one that, you know, did you wrong. He just wants to make sure everything's all right between you. And these are for you to keep. Esau finally caught up with Jacob. He said, Jacob, what are you doing, son? That stuff's all in the past. I got more than I can use. I don't need your stuff. Jacob said, please take it. It'll do me good for you. He said, all right, I'll take it. No problem. Hey, we're still brothers, and everything's good between us. And yeah, I'm going to go live over here. You go do what you want to do. And Jacob started feeling better. Whew, man, sure is great now. Good thing now. Oh, man, he started going. He said, I don't have to worry no more. What did he do? When you quit worrying, what happened? Get your eyes off of Jesus. It does not matter what you tell the Lord or what vow you make or what you say. If your heart's not right when you do it, you're not going to keep it. You're only going to keep it as long as you need him. When you feel like, and you always need him, you just don't know it when you ain't living right. When your heart's not right, you don't know it. When you don't need him anymore, I'm going to tell you what. I've said it over and over. I'll say it again. I never went to jail without making a promise to God. Lord, get me out of this mess. I'll live for you from now on. And sometimes that'll last for 3 days, a week, or 2 weeks. But it didn't last long. Because as soon as things got better, and the judge didn't send me on a trip, well, I didn't need that anymore. I quit going to church. Started acting a fool just like I always did. Here's Jacob. He got there. He wasn't afraid anymore. He didn't fear Esau anymore. So he got sidetracked. He went to another place. He bought a piece of property. Wasn't even close to where he was headed to. Wasn't even close to where he was supposed to be. He went and bought a piece of property. And while he was there, he was hanging out with a bunch of people that had nothing to do with the God that he knew. And one of them guys saw his daughter, Dinah. Boy, she was some pretty. I guess she looked a lot like her Aunt Rachel, because she was Leah's daughter. But that guy saw Dinah, and he went after her. Man, he took her home with him. He didn't ask her. He took her. Kept her there for a few days. He said, man, I like her so much, I want to marry her. He said, Dad, go see if you can't buy her for me. I don't care what it costs, you buy her for me. Now, here he is. Jacob's in a mess again. He doesn't realize it yet. But, oh, his sons are mad. Dinah's brothers are mad. Boy, they got some upset. You talk about people getting upset. Somebody go mess with my little girl. Ooh. If somebody done that to my sister, that'd been a war on. That'd been a serious war. Here's these boys. These some big boys and a lot of them. They're smart. They think about things. They know how to get around things. They said, yeah. Jacob's fixing to make a deal with these people. He's fixing to sell his daughter to these people and live there forever. He's already sidetracked. He don't need God no more. Esau's not out to kill him. What's he want God for? So he's about to make a deal. And the boy said, wait a minute, Dad, look here. We'll make a deal, but they got to do this. And they told them what they got to do. And I won't go through all that story, but they had to do a certain thing. And they agreed to it, them fools. They agreed to it. And after they did, man, there was some sore. And then two of the boys, just two of them, went and killed a whole bunch of them, killed all them men. Took swords and killed them all. Just two of them. That's how bad off them fellas were after they did what them Dinah's brothers asked them to do. And they got Dinah and brought her back. Now Jacob's scared. Now he's really scared. He done made God all these vows and promises. And he didn't need God no more. So he gets sidetracked. I'm not going to go the rest of the way. I like it right here. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm just not going to do what God wants me to do. Yeah, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Just don't make me move to Athens. Anybody ever said that? I did. How long have I been here? About 7 years now. Lord, I've been in Ellis County for 33 years. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to move to Athens. I want to stay in Ellis County. I don't care much for Henderson County. Next thing you know, I'm down here living here, doing whatever the Lord wants me to do. Jacob, scared now. He's running again. He said, boys, get it together. We got to go. We got to get up out of here. We got to do it now. Said, they're coming to get him. Well, them people not coming to get him. First of all those men are dead. Jacob's scared about the rest of the people around him. We'll get even with you. Now, the Lord had told the rest of the people, you leave them alone, I'll get you. You leave Jacob and his people alone, or I'll get you. Listen here. I'm going to skip over a bunch of stuff here. And we're going to go to Genesis 35 and listen to this. And God said in chapter or verse 1, 35 and verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise. Go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Listen here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, you can do it yourself. He said, come on, Jacob, come and do this. He said, let's get after it. Get back there. Put away these gods that are not real. Put away all this sin behind you. He said, you know what you got to do. He said, put it behind you. Get rid of it. He said, you get rid of it. I'm tired of dealing with it. He said, the Lord tells us he done paid for that stuff. He done paid for it. Why do we want to hold on to sins? Why do we want to hold on to things that are going to hurt us? Listen, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. Oh, here he is in distress again. Jacob's in distress. Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Oh, my God. Now, first he had to put away the strange God. God had to remind him again, get back to the house of God. And now, how many of us, and I'm not going to ask for anybody to show their hands, how many of us have just done what we've known was wrong and walked away? We knew what was right from the time we were little, some of us. And the day came. The day came. And we looked around and said, I've grown so cold. I've grown so cold, and there's just, I feel nothing here in the house of God anymore. And we just walked away. And sometimes we actually regret it. Some of us actually regret it at a certain time in our life. I've done nothing but live for God, and I've never experienced life. Oh, yeah, you have. If you've lived for God, you've experienced life. What you haven't done is made a fool of yourself yet. So many of us have to take time out to make a fool of ourselves. Have to take time out to show what an evil person we can be. How bad we can be. How rotten we can be. God told Jacob, he said, now, go back to Bethel. And this is the same Bethel that Jacob had named by this time nearly 30 years earlier. Go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. And we're almost done. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. And that is Bethel. And he and all the people that were with Bethel, the house of God. Now, the Lord has told us, get back to the house of God. Some of us have been away. Some of us have gone where we shouldn't go. Some of us have gone where fools don't dare to go. And we went anyway. And the Lord spoke to our hearts and said, get back to the house of God. Get back to Bethel. He said, go back there. And Jacob got there, and he built there an altar, and he called the place, listen here, El Bethel. Because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And that, friends, is where we're getting to. It's not enough to just get back to the house of God. El Bethel is the God of the house of God. The God of the house of God. That's where we have to be. It's not enough to just get back to the house of God. When we travel, when we get into a place where we shouldn't be, and we feel the Spirit drawing us, and we know where we felt God, and it's that that's drawing us. It's that God of the house of God that we feel drawing us. And we get back to the house of God. And we may sit there and we worship and we say, oh, I'm in the house of God, but somehow it's not happening for me. I know I'm back, but somehow it's still not really happening for me. But now we got to get back to the God of the house of God. Oh, God. We've got to go all the way back. We can't go part way. Jacob stopped on part way there. And I'm going to tell you, he didn't go far enough. And when he got to the house of God, it still wasn't far enough. We've got to get to the God of the house of God. We've got to seek the face of the God of the house of God. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Let's stand. Right now, I was able to make it back. And it doesn't matter, folks. It simply does not matter if you make it back. And you can. But those that you took with you may not. So many lives you touched while you were gone may never know God the way you've known Him. Do you know there's people that I've known, I've looked them square in the eye as I sat on a bar stool. I look them square in the eye and I start crying because I knew they shouldn't have been there. I should have had them in church with me, but I wasn't in church. And I could feel it, that they could have known the same God. Only, if only, I hadn't stopped halfway. If I hadn't stopped halfway back, if I'd have just gone all the way. And that's what we've got to do, friends. I'm going to ask you tonight to remember who the God of the house of God is. I'm not saying any of us really need to be in that place. That I'm not saying tonight that any of us really aren't in that place. But if there's a chance, if there's that one little inkling in your heart, that one little thing that makes you understand, makes you know, I'm not exactly where I should be. I'm not exactly where I could be. Then I want you to think about it. And I want you to, when you talk to God tonight, when you lay your head on the pillow, talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to be in that place. Help me to be with the God of the house of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus.